All right, welcome to the Saturday special. As I down this last White Claw, is it a sponsorship? I don't know. White Claw, if you're out there, sponsor me. Hope you guys are doing good. Another great week has gone by as we get closer to hopefully getting out of this strange times that we're in. But one thing that will never change, and one thing you can always count on, is the Saturday Night Special. So first of all, cheers to all you guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're actually on time. Oh my gosh, it's going to be the first time we've actually been on time, actually starting right at 9 o'clock, which is great. And I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to talk to all you guys. A little bit bummed out because this was supposed to be the week that I was supposed to see the Stones last Sunday, July 5th, postponed. I was supposed to see Def Leppard and Motley Crue on July 9th, which I think was Thursday, postponed, as we know. And you can see on the bottom, a little bit of the bubbly, I think there's a few cases left. I think it might be actually all sold out. So if you have one of these, hold on to it because it's kind of a collector's item. I don't know if we're going to be doing any more. We sold 30,000 bottles though, and that's pretty dang good. So yes, there we go. Science Special 14. What a week. What a week we had. It was a great week on AEW and Dynamite. And a lot of people really enjoyed the Orange Cassidy match, which was one of my favorites that I've had, possibly ever. Definitely one of my favorites I've had over the last few years. And I'll tell you the reason why is because my idea and my goal was to build Orange up into a legit main event superstar. And I think we started that. I mean, when I see Orange Cassidy, when I first saw his gimmick, I thought, this is shit. I don't like this guy. He's making a mockery of the business. And then I start realizing, hey, Jericho, get your head out of your ass, and realize that the reason why he's over is because he's doing something different and people enjoy that. And that's what wrestling's all about. That's what show business is all about, doing something different that makes you stand out and that makes people get behind what you're doing. So I really started getting into what Orange was doing back in the days. Back in the days, we used to have fans in the arenas. Back in the days when we had fans in the arenas, people really enjoyed him and they enjoyed his work and his gimmick. And I thought, you know what, we can really do something with this guy. And that's what we decided to do. So I really enjoyed the match. I think we really showed him in a different light, so all of his haters and all of his critics can eat their words about when they say, he can't work, he's just a gimmick, hey, pockets. Like, the guy actually is a really accomplished, really good worker. So, and I'm saying that because I was in the ring with him, so I know the difference. And I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I think a lot of people did as well. And most importantly, I don't want to get into specifics, but I love when you talk about the Wednesday Night Wars. And listen, it's very important to have the most viewers. And NXT definitely got the win this week. Congratulations to them. But this is not being a sore loser or anything like that, but we didn't lose. We won. Because if you know anything about television, there's a certain demographic that advertisers and networks care about the most. Not being demeaning to anybody not in this age bracket, 18 to 49 is what advertisers care about the most. It's called the demo. And what that means is the advertisers of all the products, they want to appeal to a certain age group. And this 18 to 49 age group, they feel is their top you know, group of people that they want to appeal to. Oh, that's not matching. Let me get this back in order. Sorry. There we go. And so the people that they feel they want to appeal to the most is in that age bracket. Not that people younger or older aren't important. Obviously they are, but they are really into this demo of 18 to 49. And every single week, AEW wins the demo and doesn't just win the demo. We crush on the demo. This thing's driving me crazy. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And every quarter, we beat the demo as well. We win the demo as well. So you might say, well, that doesn't make any difference. It's all about total viewers. And it's very important to have total viewers. But this demo, this magical demo that I've been talking about on Twitter and online, it's a real thing. And if you ask any television executive, any television station, any advertiser, what they believe in the most, it is this magical, mythical demo. And we win it every week. So for that, you're welcome. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we got lots of cool stuff. You know, I've figured out that you guys like when I just tell stories for an hour. And we might have some more guests on the Saturday Night Special, but I think more importantly, you guys just want to chat with me and hang out with me, and that's cool too. So that's what we're going to do again tonight, is just answer some of your questions, and we'll do a sing-along, and I'll tell some stories, and we'll do all of that happy crappy. I just finished reading The Stand, by the way, which I've read countless times before, but I probably haven't read it, and I'd say probably 20 years, maybe longer, 25 years. And I just loved it. Stephen King's the best. If you heard the podcast that myself and Jojo Feeney did a few months ago about Stephen King, so great. And in The Stand, he had this character called the Kid, and the Kid is insane in this post-apocalyptic world. And he just keeps saying, I'm the Kid. Can you believe that? Happy crappy. So I want to bring that back. Happy crappy. I might even use it this week on AEW Dynamite. Can you believe that? Happy crappy. So after I finished reading The Stand, then I read The Long Walk, which was great. Kind of a strange ending. Maybe we can discuss that if anybody else has read The Long Walk. And now I'm going to get to reading The Running Man. Once again, read all these books many times, but I'm just kind of going through a King phase. But in between time, I'm going to read the Ted Templeman autobiography, which, of course, Ted was the producer all the Van Halen records. So it's a good book. Good to read. So Aaron Smith says, The Stand is my fave King book. It's probably mine too. I love Pet Sematary as well. It's great. I also really love The Talisman. If you guys have read The Talisman, that's a good one. Amy says, can we sing a Grease song tonight? Ooh. I like that idea. What Grease song would you guys like to hear? Send it over and we'll check it out. Brian says, great book, Good versus Evil. And that's exactly what it is. So The Stand is really funny because it actually begins a lot like what we're going through right now, but except for their pandemic actually kills 99% of the population. Thank goodness for us, it's like 3% or whatever it is. But it starts pretty much the same with this mass chaos of people not believing that it's real at first, which is kind of what's been going on with the Rona. People didn't believe it was real at first. They didn't know what to do. And there was a lot of kind of hush-hush, government rules and conspiracies and thoughts and all this sort of thing. So The Stand starts that way. So the first half of the book is basically this pandemic comes that kills 99% of the human race. And then the second half of the book is what happens when the people who survive either choose good or choose evil, which leads to a big stand between the two. So very, very cool stuff. You might want to check it out if you have not read it. Byron says, happy day from Lake George Escape Campgrounds. Well, happy day to you. Thanks for watching. You guys got Wi-Fi at the campground? That's really, really cool. I appreciate that. Where is Lake George? I don't know where that is. What state is that in? I'm not sure. Hey, Chris, if you could wrestle anyone you've never wrestled before, who would it be? Can you shout out to my dad, Brian? All right, Brian. Congratulations for having a great son like Ken. Who haven't I wrestled? That's the crazy thing, right? Like, I've wrestled so many people that I don't really know what the answer to that is. I mean, Orange Cassidy was on the list, and Darby Allin and Jungle Boy and all those kind of all the great performers in AEW. But if you go to WWE, I guess I'd have to say I know what the answer is. It's either it's Bret Hart and Owen Hart. Those are the two that that I feel are the guys that I would love to have wrestled with. And I think obviously I can't for so many different reasons, but those are kind of the two heroes that I had. Owen Hart was a huge influence on me, and he was actually one of the reasons why I got into the business. I loved Owen Hart, Ricky Steamboat, and Shawn Michaels. And those are the guys that I thought were kind of like these really cool competitors. I love Randy Savage. I love Hulk Hogan. But Owen seemed I'll get into this kind of deeply. I didn't really understand what WWF was when I was a kid, because I had never been to, I'd been to New York, obviously. I grew up there. I was born there, but I didn't really know where New York was or how to get there. And I didn't know where Dallas was or Detroit or, but I knew where Calgary was. We used to go there with my parents every year. So when I first saw Stampede Wrestling, I was like, I know where Calgary is. I know I can get there. And that's where I want to train. So I think that was one of the reasons why Owen Hart was such a big influence on me, because I knew where he lived. You know, he lived in Calgary and I could get there. And so when I started to become interested in going to the Hart Brothers Pro Wrestling Camp, he was kind of the guy that was really hot at the time. And I thought, man, if I could just be like Owen Hart, you know, if I could just, wrestle Owen Hart and become tag team partners with Owen Hart, that'd be so cool. And I drew pictures of him, which you can see in the Dark Side of the Ring episode about him. But he was just a guy that really, really intrigued me, and I really wanted to work with him. And if you would have asked me when I left WCW to go to WWE what my top 10 reasons were for leaving, probably number 10 or number 9, not one of the main reasons, but one of the reasons was hopefully I'll get a chance to wrestle with Owen Hart. And that never happened. Obviously, he passed away before I got to WWE, but he was definitely a huge influence on me. David says, I saw the pics of the new AEW action figures coming out. Yours looks incredible. When will they be out? I think they're coming out in August. I think they're some of the best action figures that I've ever been involved with. The detail is amazing. They've done such a great job. Jazzwares is the company, Wicked Cool Toys. We've got so many great stuff coming up for future ideas, for future AEW action figures and beyond. I'll just leave it at that. Let's see. Paul Bianchi, what's up from San Jose, California? Oh, I love San Jose. What's up, dude? I love it. My Judas elbow has an entire Holy Diver on it. I'll mess you up, goat. Well, hey, I don't want to mess with that. I'm assuming your Judas elbow is the one that you throw. Could be. Let's see what else we got here. I have a little bit of business to do. So let me send this text. Watch Chris Jericho do some really important business. All right, there you go. Let me see here. Dark Side of the Ring has been incredible. What is the process like working with these filmmakers? If you guys haven't seen Dark Side of the Ring, it's a really cool show. It's kind of dealing with kind of the untold stories of the wrestling business. And a lot of them are kind of like about, you know, Jimmy Snuka and Dino Bravo and Bruiser Brody and, you know, Fabulous Moolah and kind of all these kind of a little bit more controversial characters in the wrestling business. But there's some great ones too about Owen Hart. And there was a great one about the Brawl for All and New Jack, and the Chris Benoit story was crazy. And the Eddie Guerrero story, which is included in the Chris Benoit story, is crazy as well. So these guys are really smart. Evan Husney is kind of the lead point man on that. I had the privilege of working with them and narrating their show, and it was really, really, really cool. So hopefully there'll be more of those in the future. And if you haven't seen Dark Side of the Ring, I would suggest you go check that out very, very soon. Wow, there's a really cool question here. Once again, you would think after all this time that I would have these questions kind of better, that's what I'm looking for, better vetted. But man, they go by so fast. There's so many of you guys listening. It's hard to get. So there's a great question here about Naito, but I didn't get a chance to see it. But I loved working with Naito. I thought he was a tremendous wrestler, a tremendous performer. And he has a real proclivity to land on his head for whatever reason. But I really enjoyed working with him. I thought we had a lot of fun. We headlined the Tokyo Dome together, double main event. So when is Chase the Grail going to be available on Apple Music in the U.S.? Need that on my playlist for work. I know. We've been trying for this. I got to talk to our manager, Mark Willis. See, the thing is, when Chase the Grail came out, we had no record deal, which is crazy. And it came back, we were putting together probably 2009, 2010. So we had no record deal. And we basically signed a worldwide deal with a company in Australia called Riot Records with our good friend John Howarth. Did a great job. But somehow when the rights went to the States, there was a problem. And The good news is after 10 years, I think we get all the masters back and the rights to all of these albums. So I'm going to have to ask about that this week and find out when Chasing the Grail is going to be on Apple Music, because it needs to be. There's some great songs on that. Under Black and Skies is still one of my all-time favorite Fozzy songs. God Pounds His Nails is great. So many good tunes. Wormwood is awesome. So yes, we want to get that back on Apple Music very, very soon. So we're working on it. Aloha from Hawaii. Oh, that's great, man. I love it. Thank you, buddy. And there's a picture of Dave with The Rock. Actually, if you ask The Rock what his favorite match is of all time, he always says one of the matches that he mentions is the match that him and I had in Hawaii, in Honolulu. The reason for that is it was the first time he ever actually wrestled in Honolulu, even though he grew up there, when his grandfather, Pia Maedavia, and his grandmother was kind of running the territory. And I guess Rocky lived there for a while when Rocky Johnson, his dad, was in the territory. So they never actually got to wrestle there. He never got to. And so we had one match there with WWE, and it was him and I. We had a great match. It was a lot of fun. And actually Bruce Willis was in the front row, and he was filming a movie there. And Rock came down, and we were fighting outside, and somehow Rock held my arms behind me, and I'm waiting. Okay, Bruce, he's gonna punch me in the face, he's gonna slap me. And Bruce went like, and he kind of headbutted me in the chest. I'm like, and as I was going down, I was like, Hudson Hawk was the shits. So there you go. When the virus issue comes up, can we see you in AAA? Greetings from Mexico. I don't know, man. I always enjoyed working in Mexico. I actually did a great video about Paco Alonso, who was my boss for a few years, one of my favorite bosses I've ever had. He recently passed, or he didn't recently, he passed away like a year ago. So they did like a tribute for Paco, and I did a tribute video for him. You can see that online on the Twitter. And Paco was a great boss. I loved working in Mexico. So yeah, I would entertain the thought of coming back. And actually there were some conversations going on for me to do Triple Mania this year, which didn't work out obviously because of the Rona. But I love Mexico. Always had a great time there, and really kind of made a good name for myself there because of Paco, thanks to him. When this pandemic ends, you're going to bring AEW to the Midwest, such as Minneapolis to the Dakotas. Well, we were supposed to do a show in Minneapolis that actually got changed to Newark for Blood and Guts on March 25th. We almost made it. We were 2 weeks shy. And we actually have Fozzy shows in the Dakotas August 6, 7, 8, 9, because apparently the Dakotas doesn't have a lot of the corona there. So, and I was like, are you sure that these shows are happening? And we're sure, because we've gotten paid our full guarantee to do these shows. The promoters are that firm on the fact that it's going to happen. I think it's, like I said, Minot, North Dakota. I'll have to look and see, but Rapid City, South Dakota, and of course, Sturgis. The famous Sturgis, where we used to do Road Wild. We will have a Fozzy show there at the Sturgis venue. I think ZZ Top is playing, and Rat, and Black Label Society, Buck Cherry. So it's going to be a pretty big festival there. And we're excited. I'm so excited to do a rock and roll show with people in the crowd. We want people in the crowd. We're so excited. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And can't wait to get back to the cruises. See you on yours and Kiss. What's your favorite moment of the cruises so far? I say the same thing. I love the, and thank you, by the way, pulling away from the dock with Fozzy playing Judas. Actually, we played Judas on the first cruise, and we played Sin and Bones on the second cruise as the opening track. And just to pull away from the dock, knowing after a year of hard work that we've got this cruise happening, it's pretty exciting. And definitely, you'll never forget that, you know. Have you heard Mr. Speed by Charlie Benanti, Joe McGinnis, PJ Farley, and John Five? Yes, it's great. Go check that out. Don't forget to check out Quarantine, which, of course, is the 80s non-makeup Kiss cover band that we've started. No, No, No was number 60 on the charts this week. So it's great, because Crazy Nights was like, I think, 33. Reason to Live was 37. And here we are 33 years later, getting No, No, No in the charts at number 60. Oh, yeah. Sean says, hey, champ, can you wish my wife and I, Jen and I, a happy 70th wedding anniversary? Happy 17th wedding anniversary. That's great. That's a huge milestone. Let's see what's going on. Talk to me about what you love at your blow-off match, Kevin, was at WrestleMania. I was not happy with it. I wasn't happy with where we were placed. Everyone knows the story. The original plan was for me to beat Kevin Owens for the world title in the main event of WrestleMania, whatever that one was. And then Vince changed his mind, as he is wont to do, to Brock and Goldberg being the main event. And that's fine. Things change. But when we got moved from the main event to the second match on the card, that's when I was like, my run is done here. Because we had, in my opinion, one of the best storylines of the year, if not the best. And listen, I get that you want to change the main event, but putting us on second was a real kind of a slap in the face, because we had such a great storyline. And being on second, like, I'd put us on first or put us on second last. Being on second was kind of a real, it's a shitty place in the card to be. So I wasn't happy about it. And that was when I knew it was time for me to move on. So when I have, it was great. Let's see what we got going on. Hello from Poughkeepsie, about 2 hours south of Lake George. Okay, so Lake George is in New York. Call back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Tim says, Chris, I look at that picture. Oh, what a cute little baby. Cute little baby. Chris, I loved your podcast about Metallica Load and Reload albums. You need to do that watch along for Some Kind of Monster. Love your 2 cents on it with Frankie. Mega Load. Yeah, we did a great podcast a few weeks ago combining Load and Reload. Actually, debating Load versus Reload, which albums are better. And of course, doing the big song by song, track by track debate. And I put together a playlist of Superload, I call it, which would be the collection of my choices for making one album out of those two. And you can go to Spotify and check it out. Just look up, Chris Jericho's Superload. And that's actually pretty good. I like listening to it. It's fun. But I'm Chris Jericho is a really cool series. Funny as hell. Thank you. If you guys haven't seen But I'm Chris Jericho, just YouTube it. It's a great show that I did in Canada, and the premise of the show. And it took me like 8 years to sell the show. And then 4 years between season one and season two. And then hopefully we'll get another season in 2 years. But it was a concept that I had where what if Chris Jericho was kind of blackballed out of wrestling and loses everything and then has to go and then he goes to try and make it as an actor, which is what I was doing at the time in 2005 when I first came up with the idea for the show. And it's really fun. There's 2 seasons of it. I think there is 16 episodes. Definitely worth watching. If you haven't seen it, it's really, really funny. And I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't really believe that. So, but I'm Chris Jericho, Chris becoming an actor, which is really, really funny stuff. So there you go. I love this one. Will Orange Cassidy ever team up with Pineapple Pete? Apparently I have a real problem with citrus, is what people are saying. Hey, Chris, what has been your favorite moment in AEW that you've been involved with? You're my all-time favorite wrestler. We share the same birthday. Wow, November 9th. Thank you, Master Obi-Wan. That's amazing. Favorite moment in AEW? Gosh, there's been so many. And I always kind of live in the present, live in the now. I'd say my match with Orange Cassidy is right up there. I think the buildup of the story of Jon Moxley and Jericho. And you notice that the whole world went down the shitter after I lost the world title. Coincidence? I think not. I love the Moxley storyline. I thought we did a great job with that. It was a lot of fun. But this every week is just a blast. I mean, I can't wait to have people in the crowd again. So we're waiting for that. But, you know, like I said, there's nothing we can do. So our job is to keep having the best shows that we can, and we're doing that. Jacob Donnelly said, would you get Geddy Lee, Alex Lyson on Talk Is Jericho? I've been trying. Believe me, I've been trying for years and years and years. I would love to have either one of those guys on the show. So if you know somebody, tell them to give me a call. Have you talked to Ultimo Dragon Hoofing 2 lately? I have not, but it was just the 25th anniversary, July 7th, 1995, where I had a match against Ultimo Dragon. You can find it online, where it was in the Sumo Arena, and it was the match that Mick Foley gave to Paul Heyman that got me into ECW. And it was the match that Jimmy Hart showed to Eric Bischoff that helped get me into WCW. So it was very important, one of the biggest matches of my career for so many different reasons, but it actually got me jobs in ECW and WCW. So if you're ever looking for that, look, Ultimo Dragon, which is not the ultimate dragon. Ultimo is the last dragon. The gimmick was he was the last student of Bruce Lee. True story. Ultimo Dragon versus Lionheart, Chris Jericho, whatever. Tokyo, July 7th. Does that make any sense? July 7th, 1995, Dragon versus Jericho. Google it if you want to see a cool match. I'm stuck on a base in South Korea. I've been listening to a lot of Fozzy's older stuff lately. What's your favorite album you've worked on so far over the years? Well, I have to say the Judas record, obviously, because it was the biggest one. I never realized how important rock radio was to a rock and roll band until we started getting on rock radio. When Judas hit number five, it became so huge for us. And then we realized, like, holy shit, being on the radio really makes a difference. So that's the one to me that really cracked it open for us. And I'd be honest with you too, though. I mean, everybody says this, but the new record that we're working on is definitely at a completely different level. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Let me just put it that way. Naughty Dog says, how bad do you miss the real live crowds? And do you have any idea when they'll be allowed back? I miss them a lot. I mean, listen, once again, we're playing with the cards that we've been dealt, but I miss the live crowds because it's such a big part of wrestling, is that third element of the reactions. And like, I don't even know who's over anymore. I was talking to Edge about this the other day. Like, is Edge over? Is Orton over? Is Jericho over? Is Orange Cassidy over? Like, who knows? There's no real crowds to let you know what's working and what's not working. And that's one of those things where I'm like, it's such an important integral part of the wrestling business. And to not have that is very, very strange. So hopefully we'll be able to have crowds back very soon, even if they're just small. You know, 500 people at this point in time would be so excited and so happy. And so that's what we're working on. So hopefully we'll have people back very soon. Oh, shit. Come on, Walter. You're going to throw up again? My goodness. James, yes, this is live. Uh-oh. Terrence is it too. Walter's drunk. Walter is a friend of mine who has way too much fun during the Saturday night specials. But that's why we're here, right? Cheers, guys. We're here to have fun, tell some stories, have some drinky winkies. I actually think I have a sponsor pretty soon. I'll be able to show a sponsor. So that'd be good news. Yeah, Christina says, how do you feel about these no audience performances? It feels a bit awkward. It is a little bit awkward, but we have no choice. We have to keep the lights on. We have to keep the lights on. Like I said, we have to keep the ball rolling, and we're doing the best we can in these circumstances. I think our shows have been fucking amazing over the last 3 or 4 months. And I think, you know, if there were fans, it'd be even better. But like, think about the guys that have appeared on our show and debuted that haven't even been in front of a crowd. Matt Hardy, FTR, Brody Lee, Lance Archer, basically. I know he came out in the crowd once. But, I mean, these guys are massive stars that haven't even been in front of a crowd yet, you know. So, Luther, I mean, I can't wait until we start having people back in the stands and let these guys really show what they can do. Although we're doing the best we can. Like I said, I'm very happy that the match I had with Orange Cassidy last week was one of my favorites. And there was no crowd. Had there been a crowd, it would have been better, but there wasn't. And you got to deal with it. So is Fozzy still going to be in Fort Madison, Iowa? Yes, that's one of the four gigs, August 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. It's Minot, North Dakota. This is no particular order. Minot, North Dakota, Fort Madison, Iowa, Rapid City, South Dakota, Sturgis, South Dakota. So there you go. Yeah, I don't like when all these things go buzz. I had it so good. And then, okay, you have been my favorite since the 1004 holds in WCW. Well, thank you. Amy says these shows have been fucking amazing. They've been the highlight of our quarantine. Thank you. Would you like to see Kevin Owens in AEW? Of course, that'll never happen, but I'd love to see Kevin Owens. He was, we had a great time working together. Lots of fun. Good times. So I'm trying to get back up to the questions. What's in the glass? What's in the glass? I think I showed you a little bit of vodka, Grey Goose, and I'm using the Polar Seltzer. It's very, very good. Very, very good. Let's see. I'm trying to get back to the original questions. Any wrestler stuck in a foreign country right now because of COVID you missed talking to? Pac. I wish we had Pac with us right now. He's such a great performer. And we actually were speaking about him coming to live in the States on March 11th, which of course was right before the, world ended, shall we say. And I think he's in England. So if he's watching, we miss you, Pac. Great, great dude. And great guy. Sean Tortorici, what's your thought on Taker finally hanging him up? I mean, deserved, man. What a great guy. Great, amazing performer. And probably the best gimmick in WWE history. Kidding, Chris. Mr. Angry in Action. Well, I'm on every week, dude. I don't know where you're at. Get your shit together. thoughts on the current AEW women roster? Is there any possibility for female wrestlers joining the circle? I think our women are great. I think a lot of them are still learning. We've got a lot that are coming up. Obviously, Britt Baker has gone off the charts. And I think Sheeta's awesome. We miss having Chris Statlander, who got hurt. I think Anna Jay's got a lot of potential. So there's a lot of girls that we have in the company that are going to be amazing and are amazing. So we're excited. We're excited about the future. Robert Christian, how's your dad doing? Staying safe in lockdown? Yes, my dad is the nicest man in the world, and he's doing pretty good. So thank you so much. Let's see what we got. I already showed you what's in the glass. What's in the glass? What's in the box? What's in the box? Tell me what's in the box. Great movie there. Brad Pitt, of course, in what's that movie called? Seven. Oh my gosh. We are looking for some more questions. Hey Chris, you're gonna have a list of Jericho and AEW? No, it's copywritten by WWE. So I can't use it anymore. Sorry. let's see what we got going on here. What gimmick match that you've been in that you really want to do in your dream opponents? Don't really understand that, but let's talk about the gimmick matches that I created. So Money in the Bank was one, and Ambrose Asylum was another. Festival of Friendship was another. All of those are play sets. There you go. And they're actually doing a playset for the new AEW action figures, which is backstage when I first came up with a little bit of the bubbly, where it's like this is legit. It comes with a table and like a little deli tray on it. And like, I think there's a little bucket for some bubbly or something like that. So, but yeah, Money in the Bank was an idea that was created when one year for WrestleMania, suddenly there was like four or five like top guys that had really nothing to do, which is so strange. It was Kane, Jericho, I think Benoit was in there, Edge, Christian. And they wanted me and Edge and Benoit to do a triple three-way submission match. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, how do you do a three-way submission match? It's not really exciting. And they were like, well, that's what, you know, Vince wants you guys to do something. I said, well, can we think of another idea? So Brian Gewirtz, who now works for The Rock, and he was one of my favorite guys to work with of all time, one of the writers for WWE. I said, well, why don't we do like a ladder match? Well, what's at stake? What if we put a piece of paper on the hook that the winner gets a championship match the next night? And Brian was like, what if the winner gets a championship match at any point over the next year? And we're like, okay. And we took that to Vince, and Vince's only addition was it has to be in a briefcase. And we're like, okay. So we'll put this contract in a briefcase, and whoever wins it can now redeem this contract for a world title match at any point in time over the next year. And that's where it all started, right there. We came up with that idea and we went for it. So I think I've been in five Money in the Banks, never won, but I created the damn thing. So there you go. But what a piece of WWE history. I mean, everybody loves it, talks about it, deals with it, mentions it. And that was all because we had nothing to do for WrestleMania one year. And Edge didn't want to do it. I'm like, you're going to win, you idiot. Just do it. So there you go. How do you feel about dudes waiting when the dude dives over the ropes? Well, we're working together, so don't look into it that much, dude. I mean, we got to take care of each other. So I would like to be able to just go like this every time, but sometimes there's timing issues that you have to make sure that you're looking at the guy. So if we're standing around too much, watching a guy dive, sorry. Sometimes in hockey, people watch somebody skate down the ice and score a goal. So I've been a fan since back in the day. Thank you, Jericho. One fave, please. Thor, call Mjolnir, please. Okay, Mjolnir. There you go. Probably didn't nail that one as much as I would have liked to, but thoughts on the whole, let's see what we got going on here. Thanks for the anniversary wishes, champ. Appreciate that. And we got, okay, great. So let's continue on. Only your matches. The rest of AEW has been very underwhelming. Oh, well, okay. Well, tough luck. Suck it. what do you think of Ryback, says Alberto Del Taco? I think Ryback was great. I think he was a huge star that was kind of buried by politics for whatever reason. And there I was actually, when I came back to WWE, the year I worked with Fandango, I was originally supposed to work with Ryback. That's what we had kind of had worked out at the time. And for whatever reason, Ryback didn't happen. Vince changed his mind, as he is wont to do, like I said, and they changed it to Fandango. But there was a time where Ryback was so popular that I suggested he should be the guy that beats The Undertaker. He's the one. And it didn't go that way. And sometimes there's complaints about his work. I loved working with Ryback. I did a bunch of house shows with him in Calgary, and we had great matches. So really, really a big fan of Ryback, especially at the time, probably 2014, 15, when he was kind of at his peak. So there you go. Can we get The Rock on Talk as Jericho? Good luck. Open invite. I've been waiting for him to do it for 7 years. Thanks for the anniversary wishes. Of course, of course, of course. I want AEW game. If you're talking about the video game, I think they're actually making inroads to that where they're going to be releasing those details soon. And actually, Aubrey Edwards, the referee, is very much working on that. She's kind of one of the point men, if you say that, for that game, for the designing. So there you go. Aubrey Edwards, I think Kenny's involved, a couple of people. So any thoughts on the Lemmy docudrama in the works? Who do you think should play Lemmy? Me. What do you say, Lemmy, when people say you're God? I'm not God. God's taller. Lemmy, what a great guy. Love Lemmy. Such a cool pirate gentleman. Who do you guys think should play Lemmy? He seems like a kind of a James Franco type thing. He seems like something he would really be good at doing. Prince Sean Campbell, Chris, you made my childhood in WWE in the 2000s and still doing it. My dream is going to WWE, maybe jump over to it. All right. Well, if you make it to WWE, we'll be waiting for you to jump over to AEW. Or maybe you come to AEW first, and then we just eliminate the middleman. What do you think of Brian Pillman Jr.? Love Brian. He was working with us last few weeks in AEW, and hopefully he continues to show up, and hopefully we can get rolling. Daniel Madden, what's the heat between you and Jim Cornette? We have the same birthday. I have no heat with Jim Cornette. Zero. He just said he didn't want to be friends with me anymore because he didn't like the stadium stampede, which I find completely ridiculous. But I love Jimmy. I've known him for 26 years, and best of luck in his future endeavors, whatever it is that he's doing. What's your best memory from Ireland, Fozzie Wrestling? I missed your one-man Dublin show. Oh, my gosh. I love Ireland. They've been so good. You've been so good to Fozzie. We always have great shows in Ireland. And like you said, the one-man show that I did there was killer as well. I would hang out in Ireland all the time. I can't wait to go back, honestly. Surprised Gregor's isn't the sponsor. Their sales in the 1849 demo have to be up significantly since Siren Special has been running. Tell me about it. Boom! Wow, this is a good question. Favorite moment you had in Madison Square Garden as a wrestler? Wow. Well, it's interesting. So I'm getting ready for my 30th anniversary in the wrestling business, which is crazy. But my 25th anniversary was August 2nd, 1990 is my first match. And we had a show August 3rd, 2015 in Madison Square Garden. And I kind of fudged and said, this is my legit 25th anniversary in the wrestling business. So that was really cool. I flew in Lenny St. Clair, aka Luther, Don Callis, and Lance Storm, kind of the three dudes that we started together, and we hung out for my 25th anniversary, and we had a great time. I worked with Kevin Owens, and it was pretty short because they had changed it to a like a pay-per-view, like kind of a special on the network. So we were a little bit time constrained, but I was more into the interview that I did beforehand, which I thought was great. I really enjoyed, what else did I do in the garden? Oh, of course, John Cena versus Chris Jericho cage match, December 26, 2008. I believe it was. We set the all-time gate attendance record for Madison Square Garden that night. It was the biggest house they'd ever had at the time, Cena versus Jericho. And Howard Finkel said, that was the greatest cage match I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, dude, you were there for Snuka and freaking Morocco. He's like, this one was better. Grim Reaper says, have you ever watched the rope spot on the Lion Salt? Not the flip itself. Jumping up to it a couple times. Actually, we were just talking about this the other day. I had a match, Christian and Jericho versus Booker T and Goldust, where I went for my second rope drop kick where I dropped the guy off the apron. When I hit the second rope, the rope just exploded. And that was it. We had no second rope for the rest of the match. You can actually watch that in pay-per-view. And there was a Lion Salt that I did in Smoky Mountain Wrestling with a turn buckle broke. So I jumped on the second rope, the turnbuckle just went, poof. And thankfully I wasn't mid jump at that point in time, or it could have been disastrous. Right. So, hold on a second. Do you remember the Northern Strip Club in Fargo? I was pissing next to you yelling Jericho and you played it cool and just nodded. When you nodded, it made me realize the chill. Yeah. If you're pissing next to me, don't make a big deal of it. Yeah, I do love seeing the AEW roster on the sidelines. I love it how Britt Baker is especially ramping up her game. Of course, when she got hurt, I said, this is a perfect time for you, because she had just started getting rolling with her character and her charisma. And it's like, this is perfect. You can just relax and do interviews and, you know, hang out in the Rolls Royce, which didn't exist at the time of her week. So she's done a great job. Sometimes getting hurt can be an advantage. Have any recent AEW talent impressed you? Well, Pineapple Pete, obviously. If we had crowds, Pineapple Pete would probably be making $1,000 a weekend to appear, thanks to me. Alan Angels, I think, is signed with us. Lee Johnson, Anna Jay. So we've got a few signings that have really done well for us over the last few weeks, as we've had a lot of those extras in the crowd. So there you go. Let's see. What else do we have? Describe feelings and thoughts going through you right before you stepped through the curtain when you made your WWE debut and you still have the disco colored shirt. Yes, I still have the shirt and I was super nervous, but I also knew that I was there for a reason and I had to hit a home run. I knew this was I had been dealing with this and wanting to be in WWE my whole life. And I really had to make it special. And I think we did that. Although I hate watching that promo back. I could have done it so much better, but hey, I thought I did a great job at the time and people agreed. Hey legend, how close are you to becoming a hockey player? I said zero close. I was terrible at hockey. Even though my dad is the great Teddy Irvin who played in the NHL for 10 years, I was more into rock and roll and wrestling than hockey. Alice Cooper would be great in Talk Is Jericho. Alice has been on Talk Is Jericho. You can probably go find that and look it up. Look it up! Most unsafe wrestler you've worked. Ryback was not unsafe. Ryback was a great worker, and whoever said he's unsafe had different experiences. I know Punk said he was unsafe. I never had a problem with Ryback ever. I thought he was a really, really good worker. So unsafe wrestler you've worked. Christian's bodyguard was Tyson Tomko. His finish was very hard to take. And Titus O'Neil too. When guys just throw you with no direction and no care on how you're going to land, it makes it harder. And I'm not saying that Tyson and Titus aren't good workers. I'm just saying there's certain moves they did that I didn't like taking. Baron Cross, State of Control, Atomic Arena. Did you listen to the Baron Cross classic album clash that we did in Talk Is Jericho? I told Richard Christie and Howard Jones, this is going to be the lowest rated Talk Is Jericho ever. It's at almost 90,000 views right now. 90,000 listens for Baron Cross. I don't think Baron Cross ever sold 90,000 records, but people enjoyed that show. So, and I love Baron Cross. I can't remember which one I picked more. Probably, it's hard to say. I mean, Atomic Arena probably, but State of Control, 2,000 years, and State and Stage of Intensity. I mean, those are great, great tunes. But I'll probably go with Atomic Arena overall. Do you think you retired at the age of 70? Because you still got it. Thanks, Wayne. I never lost it, baby. I'll probably retire before then. But who knows, man? Who cares? If Mick Jagger can still rock and roll, then I can too, right? What's the craziest move you used in the past that you don't use any longer? Probably when I used to jump to the second rope and do a moonsault over the ropes to the floor. So I would run, not outside the ring. Like if this is the ropes, I would run, hit these ropes, and then dive over the top to the floor. So pretty crazy, nutty move, but I enjoyed doing it for a very short period of time. When is Fozzy playing Red Rocks? I love Red Rocks. We never got the chance to play there. We had a great show in Denver last year in September, August, but I would love to do Red Rocks. Somebody book us at the Red Rocks, please. Please, please, please. When are we getting Jericho versus Smith in the Schmodown? Tell me more about the Schmodown. I'm on Roxy Stryer's team, and she was telling me about it. So apparently it's Jericho versus Kevin Smith, I think August 29th or something like that. I'm nervous. Like if it's horror movies or Coen Brothers movies, then I think I can beat Kevin Smith. If they use that Marvel Universe shit, I'll be done because I don't know anything about those movies. No 2000 Man for Quarantine. It's a non-makeup Kiss cover band. 2000 Man's from Dynasty, which has makeup. So there you go. Favorite Kiss song? Well, Heart of Chrome is definitely up there. I'm not just saying that because we recorded it. But Black Diamond Live is probably my favorite. But I love so many Kiss songs. I really love Say Yeah. I think if Say Yeah would have come out in the 70s, it would be a huge, huge hit. Heaven's on Fire, Making Love. So many, many, many great tunes. Love, 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 love of Kiss. Wow, the show's going by fast. Let's see. Greatest of all time. That's me. Oh, thanks, man. Please bring about the next war, AEW vs. WWE. That will never happen. It'll never happen. I'll just leave it at that. Would you rather have a 60-minute Ironman against HBK or a 30-minute Ultimate Submission with the Hitman? A 60-minute Ironman with HBK. I'm not much of a submission wrestler. Brett would kick my ass. What is that tat on your hand? It's Fozzy. Fozzy F. The reason why I got that is Hetfield has the Metallica M on his hand. And I thought, well, that's cool. Let me get the Fozzy F on mine. It's one of my first tattoos. And that's when I was like, if you put it, I think it was 2005 or 6 or 8 or something. It's like, if you put a tattoo in your hand, then you're a lifer. Like you can never get a job at a bank or whatever it is. What do you think about Jim Cornette's comment of AEW? I don't know. What comedy talking about? He hates AEW, and that's too bad because Jimmy loves wrestling. And if he actually, you know, paid attention to what we're doing, I think he'd really enjoy it. But for whatever reason, he doesn't like it. That's probably because it makes him money. So God bless him. Is 30 too late to start a wrestling career? It's not. It is a legit question, and it's not too late. Ask Diamond Dallas Page and ask Bad News Brown. Both of them started really getting into wrestling in their mid-30s. So it's not too late. Do it. Love the match. Stories. Cassie, awesome match. Also got a little bit of the bubbly recently. Thanks. Le Champion. Love it. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that, buddy. Philly Boy, can I please have a shout-out? Shout-out to Philly Boy. Your favorite match you ever seen with CM Punk? The one in Chicago, which was the night that Lesnar re-debuted against John Cena. I thought it was just great. I think we had some kind of street fight or something. And I remember I was so angry because everyone was just putting over backstage Brock Lesnar and Cena, and we fucking killed it. And I walked to the back, and no one said a word. And I think it was Triple H next day. He's like, you know, I heard you were angry that you didn't get a standing ovation for your match. I'm like, I didn't say that. I said it would have been nice for somebody to say, hey, good match. That's all I would have liked to have heard. Good fucking match. But we didn't get it. But I thought that was a great, great, great match that we had. So All right. As we start to wind down here, it's been a quick show tonight. Any new bands you're into? I love Greta Van Fleet. Very, very cool stuff. Dirty Honey's cool. I like rock and roll, man. Oh, the Struts. Fuck, I love the Struts. Do you wanna be a prima donna like me? Or however that goes. I love that. Zeppelin or Sabbath, choose. I'm going with Sabbath because I love Ozzy. Like super love Ozzy. I'm guessing Grey Goose is your favorite alcoholic drink. Why? Yes, it is. Who's the best wrestler in Winnipeg? Here's something. Everyone talks about Calgary. The best wrestlers from Canada come from Calgary. Bullshit. Take your best four from Calgary. I might have gone on this rant before. That are actually from Calgary. Like they lived in Calgary, grew up in Calgary. Owen Hart, Bret Hart, the list ends there. Who actually from Winnipeg? Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, Don Callis, Roddy Piper. Boom, mic drop. Boom! Better than any four from any other. Toronto, give me some Toronto. Come on. Edge, Christian, who else? Who else you got? Callis, Jericho, Omega, Piper. Enough said. Will AEW come to India? We were waiting to see it in here. We would love to come to India. We would go anywhere. We just want to go somewhere. We want to get back in front of crowds and have some fun, and we will. So India, hopefully we'll get a chance to come very soon. How do you remember 30 years of matches so vividly? Check this out, man. I have kept a list of every match I've ever had since October 2nd, 1990, Lance Storm versus Chris Jericho, the Pinoca Moose Hall in Pinoca, Alberta. I have that exact piece of paper that I wrote that information down almost 30 years ago. I gave it to Alex Marvez. Alex Marvez has now downloaded it into a database. We have all of my matches, my complete body of work. No other wrestler of my stature or my longevity has that. I've got every single one of them. And we're going to do probably kind of a book about it, maybe a self-published book. We're going to do kind of a video a discussion about it. So we're going to make something really special, man. So I'm excited about that. Favorite Manchester UK memory. I think that's where we had the fight. It might've been Birmingham. I'm not sure. One time we came back to a hotel after a show when we were on a European tour, and in the lobby, there was skinheads. Because there was a football match and there was like, they were skinhead football fans and like shoot fighters. There was some kind of an MMA match that night. So it was wrestlers, skinheads, MMA shoot fighters. And something happened where I think Triple H was supposed to sign an autograph for somebody. He didn't. He got in the elevator and split. And then this guy got really mad and started a fight with one of the guys. And it was like, we were in the middle of a long tour. And it's like, you do not mess with the boys. So it was wrestlers versus skinheads versus MMA fighters. And let me just say this, the wrestlers whipped fucking ass. Yes. I remember Visser was just sitting on a guy. And the guy's like, bah, bah. He's just sitting on a guy. And I was going around just like, I was, how many shirts can I rip off? Like, I'm going to rip off your shirt. And I'm going to rip off your shirt. And I think Benoit had one of the guys in the crossface and he was laughing. And it was just this big giant brawl. And the cops came when they were like, when they came in, they're like, where it's wrestlers versus skinheads versus MMA fighters. So you guys should probably just leave and we'll take care of this. So they basically said, like, wrestlers, get the hell out of here and we'll take care of the rest of it. So it was a great, great fight. Oh, yeah. Remember Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns and Jericho versus Shark Cage. Yes. And the reason for that was I think they had cut a deal with a toy company that was going to make a Shark Cage toy. So in order to make the Shark Cage toy playset, they had to stick somebody in the Shark Cage. And that, of course, was me. Can you believe that? Happy crappy. It was really fun, though. I really enjoyed it. Great stuff. I really liked working with Roman too. He's just a great wrestler, man. Really, really cool time. What's your opinion of the Tragic Hip? One of the greatest Canadian rock and roll bands of all time. Love them. bacon or Canadian bacon? I'm not sure the difference is. I got to go with normal bacon. I think if it's Canadian bacon, it's like that ham. I'm not sure if it's all that great. So, oh my gosh, we've got so many questions, so much stuff going on. We're probably getting ready to do our, sorry, Elise, I'll try and do better. I don't know how the fuck you speak. I'm just a vague British accent there. Can you please give a shout out to my son, Nathaniel? Hello, Nathaniel. What's up, buddy? About Jericho said about Ozzy. I saw the new Ozzy shirt, Hot Topic. I didn't buy it. It was kind of cost high. What did I say about Ozzy? I love Ozzy. So are we going to do a Grease sing-along here? What should we do? Let me just see. What is a typical Chris Jericho diet? I eat once a day, believe it or not. Once, maybe twice, but never more than twice a day. How often do you work out? I work out 5 times a week, kickboxing, and I do it in my garage where I have a gym built there. And I open the garage doors. It's like fucking 100 degrees, covered in sweat. And that's one of the reasons why, like this, the match we had with Orange Cassidy last week, that's outdoors at Daly's place. And there was a lightning storm that was right before it. So the humidity had just settled into the amphitheater, and it was so fucking hot. It was probably like 115 degrees. So I think one of the reasons why I was able to survive that match and have a good match is because I work out basically in 100 degrees at my house every day. So any chance of a Fozzy cover of Crazy Train? We've covered Crazy Train. We on the Judas record, we did a cover of Crazy Train and we did a Mental Health. I think we're supposed to release them on some kind of a B-sides record that didn't come out. So we've got some great B-sides in the can. Mental Health, Crazy Train, what's the freaking Avenged Sevenfold? Shepherds of Fire, Sun and Steel by Iron Maiden. We've got some great ones in the can. So hopefully we will get a chance to release kind of the B-side thing with those tunes on this next record that we've got going. But the Crazy's like right in my wheel. Crazy! That's how it goes! Millions of people living as foes. All right. Who's coming up and talks to you? Ron Keel? I wish. Do you know him? Get him on. Wow! All right. So we are figuring out what our sing-along is going to be. I really like this idea of singing Grease for some reason. But what Grease songs should we do? Brandon says, how do I get luscious hair and how to care for it? Listen, when I started growing my hair out again 3 years ago, I said, I'm not putting it in a ponytail. I put it in a bun, but never a ponytail. And I'm not dyeing it. Because before I would always dye my hair and I put it in a ponytail. It would always have this big ring on the back. You see like the ponytail, it kind of made it like an impression. And I would color it. It would just make my hair like, my hair was never this straight until I just didn't fuck with it, man. So you want that B-side album? Yes, Lisa, we're going to give it to you. I hope so. I promise. I still have to watch Fyter Fest. So what are you waiting for, man? Come on. The Right to Rock by Keel. Oh my gosh. That's super fucking tempting. If anyone knows The Right to Rock. Wow. Now I want to do a Keel sing-along. You should have Diamond Timothy Flowers in your podcast. What a great brother. Canadian, old school. And he was like the guy when we first started, that he was like the kind of scary guy that was in charge. I think him and Luther pissed on my pillow one night at some point. So, okay. So are we doing, wow. My boys in Seasons had their singles pick up for one of AEW's new wrestlers. Good for you guys. Awesome. Both hands, a double punch. Gosh, Singer Stars, Grease Lightning. Oh my gosh, there's so many people. We're going to do Grease tonight because I think that's fun. And I'm going to put it into the search right now. And we're going to find out what song we're going to do. Grease. Grease is the word. That's too high. That's Frankie Valli. It's really high. Let me see. Grease. Okay, so we're going to choose this together. We got the Grease album here. Summer Nights, You're the One That I Want. Oh, those are all so good. Grease Lightning. I'm sorry. I got to do Keel, The Right to Rock. It It's so, you know, should I do Keel? I don't know what to do. I think we got to go with Greece. All right, we'll do Greece. We'll do Keel next week. Let's do Greece. We'll do Greece, and let's do Summer Lovin' since it's the summertime. All right, answer a couple more questions first, and then we're ready to rock it. No Greece. Do you guys want Greece or Keel? I'm going to take the next 10 comments. Please get, you should sing Summer Love with Aubrey Edwards. That might be fun. I like her. Greece Lightning. Yes, I love this one. What do you love? Greece or Keel? Greece. Greece. Everyone's saying. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Keel. You know what? Fuck it. It's my show. We're going to do two. We're going to do Keel, The Right to Rock. Have you guys ever heard Keel, The Right to Rock? We're going to do it right now. It's going to be fun. We're going to do both. We're going to do a double sing-along because you guys requested it. All right. Here we go.